Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson and I'm here with my co-host
Edward Dickey.
Edward, we have yet another guest.
I feel like I'm burning through all of my guests.
You are bringing in the talent, and I want to say I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, you know, I do what I do.
You do what you do. You want to introduce our guest?
Sure. Here we have a guy who I played football with, one of probably the top three football players I've ever played with.
Oh, wow. High praise.
Thank you. I am not the top three of people I've played with.
Well,
guarantee that.
Man, who went on to play at... Whoa.
You're good.
Whoa, that
keep going.
That just blew up my ears.
Keep going.
He went on to play at William & Mary, and then now he is in the NFL as a scout.
Oh.
TC, how you doing, buddy?
TC,
what's going on, fellas?
Hey, you know, hanging out, man.
We haven't been talking for the last, 20 minutes.
It's good to have you here, man. It's good to have you here. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to when you're on vacation to sit with us.
This is the first week.
This is the first time we've had.
It's a mini vacation because I have a prison. I have we have more meeting. One last round of meetings.
Okay.
So
before we break for summer,
we're gonna talk some NFL draft. But can you just start off, just kind of saying what exactly an NFL scout does?
Oh, Do you want it from? What I do now currently, what I did to get to this point, or
well, it depends on what you had to do.
Right. So,
are your day to day kind of what do you do
on a day to day basis as I am now? So, it depends on what time of year. So, let's start with the fall. So, the fall comes. You know, end of July, we get to, you know, training camp at your respective NFL teams. They'll fly you in. We meet. We kind of have some type of orientation as a staff. New hires or you know, guys that come in.
This is before rookie minicamp?
This is camp, training camp.
Okay.
Training camp.
And he's this is when you start. So, you get hired. So I'll tell you, the cycle of, scouting is – after the draft, you don't get hired or you don't interview anywhere. You don't get hired. You don't do any of that until after the draft.
Okay.
So May.
So you're getting hired for next round.
Yes. So they get you started in May essentially because as a scout you have to be there throughout the entire draft process. It's not like coaches.
Yeah,
right. Coaches are gone for 6 weeks, 2 months after the season. So they have to stay. That's if you keep your job. Now, what typically happens on the coaching side is last game ends. You're either in the playoffs or not in the playoffs. So if you didn't go to the playoffs,
off season.
It
welcome.
Sucks. It sucks. But you also have 2 months off.
And you make sure. I'm not sure a lot of NFL players aren't thinking that way.
You know, do you really want to go in the first round, go to freaking fucking Green Bay? I'm sorry.
I said let the first one fly.
Do you really want to go and lose in the first round and have to play in Green Bay?
Or do you want to go to Barbados?
Or do you want to take your side trip to the Turks and Caicos? Come on now.
No, but last time we talked, you said there is a playoff bonus.
There is a playoff bonus.
But is it enough to...
Playoff bonus for players means is a very small fraction of what they're not playing for.
They're not playing for that,
Coaches and scouts and execs, on the other hand, I've heard of some teams from certain franchises that go to the playoffs all the time, and they have paid off cars, they have paid off houses.
Yeah,
they are on, I can see that.
With their bonus money from going to the playoffs every year, because it's essentially now it gets taxed. They tax the hell out.
Oh, no
of it.
Doubt.
It's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
No doubt,
a bonus. So when I got it, I was like, oh, they told me because I was an intern at the time. They told me, hey, you don't have a bonus and you're as an intern, so you just get what you get. They're like, hey, we're gonna
throw to you. Here's some Twinkies.
We're gonna give you this amount of money. So at the time it was $1,500. So it was
big money.
In 1 week.
Yeah.
That's every week you're in the playoffs, you get that check.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
I would take that.
So it's all right, we've decided to divvy it up, whatever. I was on the lower end of this $1,500. It's pretty decent for an intern.
That's a good night at the bars,
right?
So, but sorry, let's go back to.
But and then I looked, but then I looked at my check and I was like, "Where is it?
Yeah, what is this $300?
They taxed the shit out of
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
And so that's how. But okay, so aside from the tax part, which is a little over a third, just yeah. off the top,
yeah,
just automatically, and it. Then it goes through the whole other process, other rigmarole yeah. of state.
So
if you live, depending on what state you live, if right. you're in New yeah. York, you're screwed.
Yeah, if you live in Florida,
New York, California, yeah.
Texas,
Florida, Texas. Everybody loves living
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, because you work and you live in the state that, you know, it's easy money.
All right, so you get, so scouts generally get hired after the draft.
After the draft.
So what does that look like? You get hired and then what do you do?
You get hired, they bring you on, you sign your contract. You
get a contract.
You can negotiate your contract. We don't have agents because we can't afford.
Yeah, why would you? Yeah. What do you want? 10% out?
You want five? You're in a year to argue for an extra $5,000? Come on now. You know, so we're not talking. We're not coaches. We're not coaches. Coaches are arguing for an extra $500. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I can get. Yeah. I can pay an agent. You know, $10,000 to get me an extra $500,000.
I was wondering the other day if GMs have agents.
They do.
They do.
So, yeah. And there's only three agents in that room.
Oh, okay.
Those guys make us
no
ton
doubt.
Of money.
Because I was wondering,
no
like, how does
doubt.
Those agents
like if you're a GM negotiating with your own agent for a free agent? It's like how does that work?
I don't.
Well, that's the problem
so
that's going on with Arizona, right? The whole problem with Arizona's coach and their quarterback have the same agent, and so you're like,
you're just going back and forth.
What is that?
So a lot of times, like, the,
imagine
most
that,
of these
that agent
guys,
just like turning to himself in meetings.
Most of these guys, like. They won't. They'll take like a high profile GM. Like some of these guys are just like, we're just gonna stay with the coaches
right.
and GMs.
Yeah.
Right. And those are the top. Those are really the top agents
yeah.
that you have.
Yeah.
Like that guy is. Who I don't know who exactly it is, but and I'm not well versed in the agent world
sure.
yet as
sure.
a scout. Like that's another part of like
someday.
Because so you're
because you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. Like they're a thing. Like
yeah.
it's a
yeah.
looming
yeah, a
thing that you don't
because
really
like
think
you're,
about.
Your you're end goal
it.
Here is to be a GM, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you're gonna have to
so
deal
you
deal
have
with some
to
agents.
Be able to deal with agents,
yeah.
and then you find the right agent for yourself once you get high enough.
That's right.
Yeah.
And okay. then you can start. You understand how to negotiate a contract.
Yeah.
You can negotiate coaches' contracts, player contracts.
Yeah.
You know, you understand more about the business side of things and how that works. And because there's a football side, then there's a football business side, and then there's an actual
business side
of the
yeah.
franchise.
Yeah.
yeah.
So those two things are always separate.
I imagine that's like.
But the GM absorbs that.
Right.
Like
you're
a GM
yeah.
now, and now you have to absorb right. the business side because you're the GM president because they have to pay you a certain amount of money to, you know, you have the title. So now you have to
now
actually
you gotta,
run
yeah.
the
so
business.
So I imagine that's a lot like just running franchise mode on Madden.
No.
No? No? Oh, okay.
Actually. So I don't know. It's been a while since I played. I love playing franchise. That's how I knew I was going to be a scout or, you know, drop something.
I'm
someone dropped something.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's me.
But, no, like I loved franchise mode.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Played,
I loved rising the price of hot dogs.
Yeah, oh
dollar.
My God. I got
now
I gotta get
Dez
this new
Bryant.
Stadium. I gotta get this new stadium, baby.
Come on, everybody.
Why does NFL keep taking all my revenue? Oh, it's the rev that's it's
I
want
to move the
sharing.
Dallas Cowboys to Birmingham.
Come on.
We can make this happen.
Why wouldn't someone want to do that?
You've seen, have you been to an Alabama game? You kidding me? I would 100%. If Alabama had a pro team right
oh
now,
gosh,
and you just
amazing.
Call them the
yeah.
the Robin Tide or something
whatever.
Like that.
Yeah,
they whatever.
You just roll,
War
roll something.
Yeah.
Exactly. fill it with like Joe Namath, the president.
That could.
Actually, we might be on something.
I mean, I've been to Birmingham. It's not a very big city.
No,
it might be kind of tough.
It doesn't
but
matter.
But guess
it's
what?
It's a whole state.
If you build it, they will come.
Oh, my God.
Very
football
church.
Is
Field
church.
Of dreams. Let's go.
So we just did a sports movie bracket, and
oh,
Field
okay.
of Dreams is on there. So
yeah.
that was, yeah. yeah.
And it didn't win
of
the
course.
Championship,
it
even
didn't.
Though both of us wanted it to
what
win
won
the
championship? Championship?
It ended up being Rocky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can see Rocky winning
yes.
against all odds.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that weird? Isn't that
like,
weird?
I'm shocked, but I'm not surprised, if that makes
almost
any sense. Like,
though.
I wouldn't have, at the beginning, it wouldn't
yeah.
have been my number one seed.
Exactly.
It
no,
was an
right.
underdog all the way through the end, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, would it be Sandlot in the first round? Like that was the favored win.
Oh man,
so it,
Sandlot is awesome, by the way. By the way,
I went back and rewatched it. Sandlot really holds up.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
It was an underdog for a while. I think that was a 3 seed.
Yeah,
Sandlot.
Yeah.
Sandlot. Okay. How many?
Yeah, we had a baseball bracket, football bracket, basketball bracket, and then an other bracket.
As you can tell, I did a really great job promoting this, seeing as how one of my good friends had no idea what we were doing.
I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to know when the next one is. What's going on?
We're
going
to do it again. We'll do it again.
It's all on Twitter. Check out our Twitter.
I have a burner Twitter I stopped using. I thought I was going to need it more as a scout, and I was just like, I don't really care.
All right, boys. Well, let's talk about.
Yeah, let's get back. Let's get into the draft a little bit.
Let's talk about the NFL draft, which just happened here a couple weeks ago. I'm a little disappointed in how my team did. I don't know how you feel about the Falcons, but
so well. Who did the Cowboys get? If you had asked me an hour ago, I would have known.
You know, no one knows. I think it was a kid named Tyler Smith in the first round.
I don't know.
He's an offensive lineman, I think. But
that's exactly what the Cowboys need is more really good offensive linemen.
They lost Lionel Collins.
We did. We lost
Lionel
Collins.
That's true.
We got rid of that other kid who always had the holding penalty.
Well, you know who can really.
It's not going to matter because you can't throw the ball from the quarterback position, and then you can't.
But the guy who I paid to do a cameo for you, I don't know, but he never did it, so he can just he can go play in Canada for all I care.
He might be a starter. Who knows?
That's one of my pet peeves, by the way, as a scout. Like I'm listening to this conversation, I'm like. I don't know how many people know this, but they would kill to have your quarterback right now.
I know that, right? I understand that.
So his favorite player of all time is Tony Romo.
Yeah. Okay. So here's his situation.
That's
fine. You know, and I think that
he's a great announcer.
Our franchise disrespected him so hard. We would have won the Super Bowl that year.
You continue to do the same thing.
You're doing the same thing to the new guy. I'm a rational Cowboys fan. All right, I understand that our franchise.
He's more rational than most of them.
Okay,
our franchise is badly run and is just terrible from the top to the bottom.
DC just got the biggest hoop.
So
no, I didn't.
I feel like
you can't prove that.
In any case, bring it back down. Bring it down. How do you think the Falcons did?
We keep getting off track. I think we can focus on the first round, just because I don't know if you really care about my thoughts on the sixth round pick.
I do not care about sixth round pick.
They're both Georgia players. I love it. But Drake London, I think, will be a great player.
All right. So this is what we talked about before, and TC, I want your opinion on this, because what I thought about taking a wide receiver in the first round. The Falcons need a wide receiver. Nobody doubts that.
Yeah.
But you're picking this guy 5 years before he's going to be relevant.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pay him $35 million a year by the time that you are
if not more.
Yeah. In a place where you can actually use him to win a championship. You have so many other needs. There's so much more important than wide receiver.
And I think.
Or tight end for that matter last year.
I think with.
I'm pulling up the NFL draft. You know, NFL like you guys should have done. I mean, this is kind of what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have a graphic of some sort for the guests to be able to refer to.
I figured you would have known. But I think, yes, I think it's a bit of a luxury pick. And we've also now spent two first rounders
on
in the past
receivers.
2 years on pass catchers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's.
Three out of four. The one that just got suspended.
Oh, yeah.
Three out of four. Well, I'm saying the past two drafts.
Yeah, but three out of four number one picks in the past four drafts.
Oh, you're right.
You're starting to sound like the Detroit Lions to me. You remember when the Detroit Lions, just all they did was draft wide receivers for five straight years?
And they freaking hit on one.
They got one.
They hit on one. They hit big. But you keep playing that card, you're going to get right. You're going to be right eventually. Well, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Hit me.
And that's why I've always thought with the draft.
Boom, there goes the dynamite.
The trick is just... Without not disrespecting your profession at all, but nobody really knows if a guy's going to work or not.
Yeah, what is that?
So, hold on. You don't know if a guy's going to work or not. Okay. So just amass picks, and you're going to hit on some of them.
Here's the thing, though. Like, here's my kind of example of
yes.
It's the biggest water bottle.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Had it for years. It's like the greatest purchase I ever had.
It's the best, like,
keeps everything
$12 you ever spent.
So, like, would you say here's my rebuttal in just a very simplistic terms. Who are the two teams that played in the Super Bowl this year?
The Rams and Cincinnati.
Who were their first round picks?
Burrow and
no. Who were their first round picks last season?
Oh, this
for, it was, no, who were the first round pick for
I
the Rams?
Have no idea.
Yeah,
I, one of
they
them
didn't
had,
have one.
Yeah, they didn't have one. Yeah.
Who was the first round pick for the Bengals last year?
Jamar Chase.
So taking a wide receiver in the first round is a waste of a pick.
If you have Burrow,
I think if you have a team around it, little bit.
They were the number
okay.
three pick.
All right, this is
yeah.
good. This is
you,
good.
You raise a good.
They
point.
Were the number.
This
they
is
were
good.
A top five
this
pick
is good.
Team.
So you,
they
you,
were not a
but
good
do you,
team.
So you think then that taking a wide receiver of that caliber that early can be transformative for a franchise?
There isn't 32 number one in wide receivers in the NFL.
I agree.
I can tell you that
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just like there aren't 32 first round picks in the draft every year.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
You probably have about, in my experience, 15 to 18 first round picks every year.
Okay.
You have one, maybe two top 10 picks.
All right. Wow.
Guys that are graded
wow.
there.
Yeah.
Guys that are
they're
graded
elite.
There.
All caliber.
Yep.
All
media,
NFL.
Like you know, but you'll never know because you don't. It's the media hype. It's
yeah.
the
yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
You don't know the order of the
well, how
guys.
How much does the media hype play into the decisions that are made in the war room? You think?
In my experience, very little.
So when they sit down to make a decision, you're the scout of a team. Let's say, mm-hmm. right? Because you are, and you have a read. You have a probably a write up, some kind of like analysis mm-hmm. on multiple players.
It's very,
right.
It's very.
They're going
to
listen to you.
It.
More they're going to listen to what Adam Schefter has to say on ESPN.
Adam Schefter's reading my reports.
okay.
Like,
yeah.
So,
yes.
like,
that's good.
They're like, so, like, all the stuff about, like, the kids, all the personal stuff, the background stuff. Like
yeah.
The,
so that's all.
Them as a football player. They're getting that from this, you know, they're getting that from the league, essentially. There's these two, you know, the league does this advanced scouting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the advanced scouting is one is Blesto and one is NFS. The NFS uh-huh. is basically the combine. So the combine has their own scouting network conglomerate
okay.
of comprised of about 20 NFL teams. So they share all this information. They make every team dedicates a scout
okay.
to go out a year before the next draft
right.
to compile all of the information on the next year's draft.
So your reports then lead probably directly to like the kind of questions and stuff they're going to ask at the combine, right? When they have the interviews,
they go straight to the GMs.
Okay.
So the if you get a character, so basically what ends up, so now we're back into what do I do as a scout
yeah.
of the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is what we want to know.
This is what you. This is
this
what
is,
we came
so
here
this
for.
Is
here
a,
for. This is a great.
This
but this is a great
to
roundabout way of getting back to the original
but
conversation.
This is a
given context
position that's. It doesn't get talked about very much.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
So
it's a very thankless position.
Yeah. Well, and it's
even in the industry, it's very.
I mean,
thankless.
It, like it's essentially. Like, you know, the quality control
not,
offensive
yeah.
coordinator, you know.
Right.
Like, nobody knows what that guy does, but yeah. it's a stepping stone job.
Quality control guys make good shit, though. They make a lot of money. They're appreciated in some form, shape, or form.
Well, they control the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all. It's all the quality control. Sorry, you were saying.
So, a part of, like, what I do on a daily basis as a scout. So, let's say I'm on the road. If I go into a school, we call them school calls. So
okay.
if I'm on a school call, which is basically just our way of saying like we're in the school, not calling
right.
the school like on the phone. Like do everything we do kind of has to be
in person,
depending
yeah.
on what
yeah.
you. So the framework and the most important part of what I gather is background information,
mm-hmm.
injury information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody cares about my report, honestly.
They don't
and
read that?
They, like, some people read it. The team that you work for reads
I mean,
your reports.
It was somebody like you who was like, Dez Bryant's mother was a prostitute. You should ask him about that.
I
right?
mean, it's in the report.
Yeah, right.
It's in
yeah.
the report. They get that report. So it's like, it's in a lot of times you kind of get, you get back, like a lot of it is like most of these guys are good dudes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there's most of these guys are just, they're a little immature. They're just like anybody else
kids.
In college.
They're kids.
They're kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're kids.
Yeah.
They just,
exactly.
They just run fast, jump high, and they're giants. You know, yeah. built like brick shit houses. So like that's the only difference is like they're just giants.
He's just like me, but
fast.
He's Adonis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like most of them are just regular college yeah. kids, like don't know anything, like coming
yeah.
out of school, like they just do what they're told to do, or they
right.
don't do what they're told to
right.
do, and they're, you know, assholes.
Yeah.
Right. So Then you get like kind of the one percentile of guys that are like, all right, we got some issues with this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, most, I mean, what kind of flags show up? I mean, what is it that
it could be something in their background, like, hey, he was an orphan raised in the system, or
okay,
he's got some, you know, alcohol issues, sure, or drug. Like, it's your normal anything that you would get fired for a regular job.
Right, any job, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the regular jobs aren't going to go around.
They don't send
and talk
out
to everyone you were around when you were in college to
wow,
get to know all the shit
I wouldn't
you
have
got
this job,
into.
I'll tell you that for sure.
Right. So
that's
like,
true.
So, like, imagine your boss
right now
had a report of how you were raised, how you were in college, how hard of a worker you are, how smart you are in the classroom, how smart you are on the field learning football. Because some guys are smart in the classroom. They have, you know, good grades in school.
Right.
They can't learn in football. Like, it's just a whole nother language for them. So you have
some, and then I'm assuming you have a lot of the other way around.
Hey, so like,
that's
say
don't
take
have a lot
like
of Harvard players, in
take
the NFL.
Yeah, like a Harvard or Stanford or you know some of these higher academic schools are like, yeah, like you assume like, oh, he's smart. It's like, no, he doesn't understand what cover two is. He keeps asking questions and like
that's the great story about Brett Favre not knowing what dime defense is.
Right, Brett Favre's just out there playing, baby.
He's just like, let's go.
He's just letting it rip because you know why? When you're blessed with an arm that Brett Favre had, you can put the ball.
That's right.
You can put the ball anywhere at any time, and it doesn't matter who's
around. I'm not
around.
Even seeing anybody else.
It doesn't matter.
It's just me
around.
And you,
because
receiver,
the ball
let's
comes
go.
Out so fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and it gets there so quickly, there's no time for you. Like, it erases a lot of the issues.
That was,
and that's why people are enamored.
One of my,
that's why people are enamored with the huge arm, because like,
yeah, absolutely,
because you hit on Brett Favre once, it's like you're gonna keep hitting that Brett Favre button. You're gonna keep trying to get that morphine. You need something like that.
That's one of my favorite stories. When Randy Moss went back to the Vikings after Brett Favre went there. So it's obviously a few years ago.
Yeah.
And they're in the huddle, and Brett Favre's just like, just go deep. I'll hit you. No route. Just run deep. And he hit him. Touchdown. Right? I mean, it's just like, you got
like
Brett Favre, Randy Moss.
It's like,
I mean,
like the Patrick Mahomes meme where he's like, F it, Tyreek down there somewhere.
Yeah. He's down there somewhere.
Because that's the other thing, though, is like when you hit on a guy, and that's why like you get enamored with the freaks.
Yeah.
Because those guys win you games.
Yes.
Like Randy Moss, no one could guard Randy Moss.
No, nobody. No.
Nobody can guard Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
That's why you take.
You want to know why the Falcons picked Kyle Pitts so high? You take the unicorn when you see it.
You take the unicorn. You take the guy that you've never seen before, and no one's ever seen Kyle Pitts before.
That's right.
Yeah. No one had ever seen Patrick Mahomes before, but it was a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So and he was at a losing team. Mm-hmm. So like he had a couple of things against him, but nobody had seen that before.
Right.
And I have a great story about that that I can only say off air.
There's a couple stories I want you to
a
say
story,
off air.
A story about Patrick Mahomes. Yes.
A story about
a young man
who aspired to be a quarterback.
There were, you know, what, 15 teams that could have took him.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
I know a story about one of them.
All right.
Well.
We should talk about that.
It's not the one you're thinking. I can guarantee.
I'm
that's
sure it
the
was
other,
the Cowboys.
That's the other part that's going to be great. Is it's not the one you're thinking.
I'm sure it was the Cowboys. Could have had them. Don't have
them. Stay prepared.
What in God's name?
So let me ask this. So as a scout in the draft, do you get recognition or extra money, or if your guy
no
that you scouted
money.
Is drafted?
We can't do extra money because that incentivizes you to push a guy up that doesn't deserve to be there.
Okay.
So
that
if a guy
sense.
Is a day three, if you have a day three grade on a guy, and you have a $2,000 bonus, if
but
he
if
gets
you,
drafted higher than that,
yeah.
Why wouldn't I try to jockey for him to
because
be at the end? Let's trade up in the end of the third round and go get
aren't
my
you gonna
guy.
You're going to get a better rep for being a scout if you want to
move
up the.
That's why they do the recognition, not money.
There's no recognition in the money because, like, you'll have a guy like, oh, he's a seventh rounder, but he's, you know, like he'll put a fifth round grade on a guy and he's really a free agent. Like a priority free agent.
Yeah.
So
and that happens.
And you know what I'm
so
saying?
Often.
It happens.
Yeah.
But that's why that guy's an area guy.
Right, right.
That's why he's still an area guy after all these years.
That makes sense.
He still does, you know, good work, like a background, you can have beer with him, all that type of stuff. But like sometimes with the grading and you know, but you kinda have to be consistent in terms of what you're grading. And as long as you can explain why and really have the film back you up, like That's one thing. You can't hide a bad scout.
Yeah. Yeah.
You find those guys. Yeah. Just like you can't hide a bad coach, you can't hide a bad player, you can't hide an old lineman that can't freaking block. You can't do
it. We tried.
You can't do it.
So I have.
They're going to find them.
I have two fairly quick. Well, one's probably going to take a while, and the other one's, what is the energy of a war room like? And also, when putting together a big board, how do you, like, how much of the big board is put together by need of the team versus just like who
it's
you think
it's not
is?
Done by need of the team. You can never go into a draft thinking that first. You have so
you put together your, but then so our GM's just lying when they say, well, we're just going best player available based on our big board.
So
because I assume yes.
Yes and no. So it's a very complicated deal with that. So boards are never set based off of need.
Okay.
Boards are set the same every year.
Yeah.
Because it's about being consistent. It's not about being right.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Because if you're consistent in your grading, you're consistent in where you value guys, you're consistent in how you see certain positions, certain players, the media hype that plays into it. Do you push a guy up for that? If you're consistent with how you deal with all the outside noise and you just watch the tape and you trust your process and you trust it.
Yeah. Okay.
You can miss on a third rounder in 2012. And then hit on 5, 6, and 7 for 3 years straight.
Right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
That makes like, a lot of sense.
You're gonna miss. You're gonna be wrong.
Yeah.
It's baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're failing 70% of the time. Exactly. And if you're failing 70% of the time, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
That's exactly the same thing. And the people don't really realize that because football is not like the scouting portion of it isn't seen that way. Because you don't see the scouting portion in baseball.
Yeah.
Right.
You just see the guys.
I'm sure that's wild.
I saw Moneyball. I know how that works.
Those guys play professionally for years before they make it to the major leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like some of those guys, they go to high school, they go to college.
Some of them
go to
Japan.
They go overseas. Yeah. They're world traveled mature adults by the time they get to the MLB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get paid and then they don't really mess up. You know why?
Yeah.
Because when you give a 26 or 27 year old a ton of money after he had to play for the Fayetteville Rough Riders, a population of like 3,000 people, and he's staying in some host place for like a year.
Motel 8.
That's a really good team name. I can't get over that. The Fayetteville Rough Riders. If that's not a Pee Wee football team, I think I need to talk to someone in Fayetteville.
So like that
makes sense. So.
They go through that as an adult.
You know
what I'm saying? They grow up and they have time to just naturally mature just by being around,
just being
in the world, right? You don't get that in college. Like, you're going straight from college to the league in basketball and football and sometimes hockey.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no real minor league in hockey, but those guys don't get in trouble because they're all from cold places. You can't go out half the year, so you can't go out and get in trouble.
What is there to do in Toronto?
You can be snowed in. You can open your door, see 8 feet of snow, and put the beer in.
All right.
Like, that's where you put your beer,
and then you're there for the
week.
I will never forget, I opened up an Instagram story from you, and it was you walking out of your college house, and it was just – you were just snow. Like, time to go to class. And you open up the door, and it's just like an absolute downpour of snow. And you're like, nope, not doing that
today.
Close the door and go back inside.
That is
Those
funny.
Are my Snapchat days.
Oh, yes.
Those are the real
Snapchat.
Days.
Oh, man. So let's transition here to our sad for the day, which is actually
I wanted to finish the kind of like the
no we're done man
no we're
done moving
with
on
it?
No, no right. go ahead no go ahead go ahead what do you got
no just kind of like putting the board together
oh
the,
no
yeah
yeah
yeah,
yeah,
about
yeah please 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 yeah
right so you set the board based off of how you're grading guys, where you value them, how you value them as a franchise, as an organization,
whether you need them or not.
If you need DNs and there ain't a DN up there at the top of that board, you can't take a DN.
Yeah, right.
You
right?
can't.
Yeah.
You can't do
unless
it.
Unless you take
but
Taco
it's like,
Charlton.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it,
like but, teams that don't need a quarterback are. Is there still a scout?
Those
like,
guys
scouting
are graded.
The quarterback?
Quarterbacks are graded. It depends on where. That's where value comes in.
Yeah.
So quarterbacks are graded on kind of a different scale.
Okay.
That makes sense.
They're given the same grades on the same grading scale, but you look at them when you put them on the board where they're graded.
Yeah.
Then you look at the rest of the board. You start analyzing like you've been through drafts. That's as a GM, you've been through probably 20 drafts by that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. You've seen how the board falls and goes up and changes and moves and a lot of it is about eliminating guys. So like. and again, I'll say this. I said it earlier about the first rounders is ain't 32 first rounders going to get drafted because there ain't 32 first rounders every year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There ain't 250 draftable guys every year either.
Right, right.
Your board is about 125 to 150 guys.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what's on your board. You're fine, and that's what you're finding ways to eliminate guys.
Yeah.
So, character concerns that come out in your area scout background. Then Todd McShay's reading on the freaking on ESPN. He's reading your character background from those Blesto and NFS guys. So, right, that character concern, you could take a guy off for that just by how you value the character portion, whether it's football character and how if you're not a hard worker, he goes off the board.
I mean, you're just personal looking for reasons to take him off at that
point. Unless that guy's really good.
So is it a little bit of a be who you can afford to be?
Yes.
Yeah.
So like you can afford to be. So like I'll say and then but you kind of you stack the board that way and then you just start moving guys. You start turning them to make sure hey that's the guy that we know we're never gonna take him.
Right.
If he was in the seventh round, he has a second round grade. We're still not gonna take him.
Okay. Kind of like you Dallas did with Randy Moss.
You leave that guy up on the board. Because now it becomes a numbers game.
Right.
So how you have the board stacked, let's say now we're getting into the war room. So let's say
how are the snacks in the war room?
Phenomenal.
I've always wondered that. How good the snacks are.
You got like Teddy Grahams in there?
So we have our regular snacks that one of the secretaries will have every day. You know what I'm saying? It's over by the coaches. So there's a coaches secretary and there's like a personnel secretary. Some do snacks, some don't. Ours does snacks very well, very well, all year round. So we have those snacks. Then we have special snack, like a special snack board that they put up for, you know, they order out and bring like wings or pizza or nachos. And we also, you know, every facility has its own chef.
Yeah.
So the chef is there cooking all night. So from Thursday morning, because you can tech, because like the players are still in the building, so they still have to eat breakfast and lunch, and they're still working out. But there's a separate menu that they send, you know, everyone who's going to be around. The player's going to be out. They're not allowed in there anyway.
So right.
After, like, also, then it's not that they're not allowed. It's that, like, what player is going to be in the building at 6 o'clock on a Thursday in
Peyton Manning?
Springtime,
maybe
for a non-mandatory workout. Yeah. I don't have to be here. Why the hell would I be here at 6 o'clock on a Thursday?
Yeah.
I'm going home.
That's a great point.
That Thursday is actually in the off-season program. Some teams like Thursday's the last day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So guys are getting on flights.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's like they're gone at 2.
Yeah.
They might not even eat lunch. They'll come in from, they'll get their shake, go home, fly somewhere, be back, see you on Monday.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what happens. So, like, there's nobody else in there. So, the chef is just going all day. Starts cook. We have a big dinner. Like, the first night of draft, he has surf and turf. So, like lobster tail.
That's delicious.
You know, shrimp and grits. Mm. They had a steak, a nice filet mignon steak. But it's the first night of the draft, so you want to be, wants to be nice. Yeah. Like, you know, the execs are wearing their suits and stuff because you're going to be on camera.
Right.
So, we eat the nice dinner, and then they start, because that's at 6, like, 6 or 7. The draft starts at 8, and you might not be picking till 10:30. And Jesus Christ, is that a long time? Dude, we were trying to get the Sixers game up in one of the rooms, just on one of the TVs. Because, like, you're sitting there. We have the ESPN and NFL Network stuff up. But there's a separate, like, they're behind.
Right.
They're always behind, like, two or three picks on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does turning in a pick work?
Is it
just you call the commissioner or call somebody
the
like
commissioner's not taking those calls?
It's a red phone. It's direct
line.
Did
you
right?
see him?
He's trying to be a
house
show
in that bag, that box of M&Ms that went 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You only do that for one reason. One reason only is like you're working way too hard.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be. I don't get paid to work this much. I get paid to make horrible decisions that I have to make on a snap basis. I don't get paid to do this marathon shit.
But so
he was
how does turning in a pick work?
So There's a so the league has.
We'll get into the sad after this.
Well, yeah. It's fine.
League has its own like system. Like everyone has a login. It's directly in the league, so everyone has a login to it. You only get 10 per team for people who can log in on 10 different computers.
Okay.
So the picks, once they're turned in, that pops up automatically from the management council.
Yeah.
And then the TV might not get the pick until a minute and a half later.
Right.
Because there's a delay, and then they have to find the kid. Then they have to find the footage of him calling.
Yeah.
And then they get it from the league, and they get, so because there's the other portion of it, and this is the first round, is maybe the pick, let's say the Jags, they made the first pick this year. That pick was probably in at 8:01.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd hope.
But for TV,
you have to drag
they
it
hold
out.
It.
Yeah.
No, they 8, hold 8:15. They hold the pick. They hold the pick for 10 minutes because it's a TV show.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
And it is entertaining.
And that's the whole
point of
the NFL.
They hold
the pick.
They do the whole. They explain it. They let the announcers talk. They have the ceremony. They have the whole this whole big show with the first pick.
Right.
That pick was done like 5 minutes ago. Like let's go.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you were right. like sometimes you're on like pick. Three, like you know, again, still first round. You still, at one point we were up 2 picks, and the TV was behind.
Yeah,
2 picks in the
first
round.
There was a point in which Pat McAfee was getting the picks.
Yeah,
like a full pick before everyone else.
Well, because if you know somebody,
you know somebody.
They're looking like, I'm in the kids' room
because everybody in the draft.
No, there's a draft room. There's a kids' room. I was in the kids' room.
The kids' room, okay.
And I think McAfee's was Schefter. I think that's kind of how I think that was his source.
His guys just hitting him up.
I forgot what I was gonna say.
I'll tell you what.
But that's how it gets. So let's say you call the pick, you call. So at the actual thing, there's people there from your team. So you have to the actual draft.
Okay.
So you call the pick into your actual representative that's at the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them the name, tell them how to, write it. They write it down on a card. There's
some
a person,
names, man, that are tough.
There's a person taking the call and telling someone else who's writing it on the card.
Okay.
So you have to have 2 representatives.
Okay.
That pick has to be handed to someone from the league. The league verifies it, puts it in the system because it's a transaction.
Right.
It's an actual business transaction
at that point. Yeah.
So it has to go through the proper channels. Then you have to take it to Goodell. Then the team has to, like, once you turn that card in, like, you have to call the player. Like, you have to time it up. Like, the league doesn't let you, like, once you turn that pick in, everything else is from there. Like, you call that player, like, he has to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Like, before that pick is in, you know what I'm saying? So you're calling the player, you turn the pick in, you call the player, they have to make sure the pronunciation is right. Then they tell Goodell or, the YouTubers they had this year. So they tell them how to pronounce the name. They'll give them the card.
That's right, yeah.
They'll do the whole fanfare. Yeah. They'll get the kid ready. They'll get the printed. Everything has so those the letters on the back of their jerseys in the first round.
Uh-huh. I saw a video about how
they print it right there.
Yeah,
they print it right there. They freaking quick.
Yeah.
So they have to give you. They have to have time for that to happen because it's the kid's moment too.
It's his moment. Yeah.
You don't want to. You get his name right on the back of his freaking jersey because you're gonna take pictures.
That's right.
You get the hat ready. You get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
all of that. Like he. And then this year they had to walk like half a mile from the green room to get to the freaking stage.
No, the kids going opposite directions where they're supposed to be
going.
He got
like it's hard. So like you do all of that.
Oh,
takes time.
Yeah.
From when you turn the pick in and call the kid.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know what I'm saying? All that takes time, and that's happening on the TV side of it, and we get the picks. So as you're going through, you're just kind of waiting because most teams will just take the 15 or the 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I remember it used to be 15, and that was so annoying.
Yeah.
They cut it. That's
and even
why they
then,
cut it.
Like,
yeah.
Minnesota.
Because they cut it for
TV,
too.
Do you remember that?
Well, okay. So here's the rule of that is there's no – like you have the 15. If you go over that 15, you can still turn your pick in, but you can just get jumped.
You get jumped, yeah.
You just get
I
jumped.
I remember that happened.
So like until you turn your you can pick until you turn your pick in, but let's say you turn the pick in at 8:47 instead of and then the team behind you
put
it in at 8:46. Now you have to figure out who you're picking.
Right. And somebody else is picking.
And then
the
someone else knows, like, okay, all right, let's go.
Oh my
god. And that's what the run happened. Oh, but yeah. There's a team that this year it happened, I think, once or maybe twice, where a team had two picks in a row.
Yeah.
And they let the time run out on the first one.
Uh-huh.
And the time run out on the second one. And then they made both picks at the same time.
Oh wow.
Because when you have the pick behind, you can take as much time as you want. You don't have to make that pick within that
within
time.
Yeah.
Somebody else
when
can
you
jump
the priority.
You, but now, hey, if I have the pick behind me, no one can jump me.
Yeah.
Because I have rights to the next pick too. So you make two picks.
Makes sense.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we're probably gonna end it there. I think that's a good talk.
Yeah.
We'll get around to the other stuff at some other point. But thank you.
Hold on. There's one question I wanted to ask.
Okay.
It shouldn't take too long.
Go ahead.
How would you have scouted yourself?
Is this gonna be the sad or the fun?
This might be a little bit of sad. It's like we're gonna go right into the sad. Small school.
You went to William & Mary.
Small school, tweener.
It's like the first university in the United States, isn't it?
Yep. First college. Oldest college.
Yeah.
Or actually, oldest university, second college.
Like
Harvard beat us by like 6 months or something like that. Fuck them. I hate Harvard. I don't like Harvard. I don't like those guys. I don't know why. That's totally fine. That's the whole thing. But they were college first. We were the first university.
Okay.
Like to adopt.
You have the longest running school building or something like that.
Back to the point at hand here, guys.
Yes. So small. Okay.
I love William & Mary.
Yeah.
What are we doing here, guys?
Small school. So I went to a small school.
Yeah.
I was a tweener.
Yeah.
And I had short arms. So that's a
like a T-Rex.
That's a low priority free agent camp body.
Okay.
Which I was. They were right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were right. I was a camp body.
Well, you got picked up by the Bears.
Some camp bodies stick. Some don't.
Yeah, some don't.
It's just amount. It matters about your opportunity.
Yeah.
So if you're in the right, spot, you're in the right spot
right
at the right
person
time.
Gets injured.
Yep.
Those guys. They end up sticking.
What?
Jerry Jeudy facing charges of second degree tampering with domestic violence.
Oh my gosh.
Enhancer.
Breaking news here on it, which is going to come out 2 days from now.
Yeah.
So it's not breaking anymore.
Yeah.
But. Well, TC, thank you so much for joining
us. Yeah,
that
was a lot of fun. We got to do this again sometime, man. That
absolutely,
was a lot of fun.
Man. You're welcome anytime.
We didn't even get to the sad.
We didn't, but that's
well,
why. It's all right. It's sad that we have to end early.
Yeah, we got Frisbee, and it's already 5 after.
We got some other priorities, but this is good. I'm glad we did this today, and thank you so much for joining us, man, and giving us your expertise. Edward, have a great weekend, man.
Hey, you did the same.
All right. Peace out, guys.
We'll...